In 1959, Detroit songwriter Berry Gordy gathered a dozen of the best jazz and blues musicians from the local club scene for his new record company, Motown. For the next 14 years, these musicians provided the sound and the beat behind every Motown singing group, altogether playing on more number one hit records than the Beach Boys, the Rolling Stones, Elvis Presley, and the Beatles combined. No one outside the studio knew their names. They called themselves the Funk Brothers. A new documentary opened in movie theaters this weekend. It celebrates the unsung studio musicians of the greatest hit machine in the history of popular music. From New York, Tom Vitale has the story.
Standing in the shadows of Motown was the brainchild of Philadelphia guitarist Alan Slutsky.
I had been playing Motown music since the 60s, since I was about 15. And like everybody else, I never knew who the guys were. I just knew that whoever the musicians were on that were incredible. It wasn't just that they put out a lot of records. It's the music sounds different today because of what they did. They invented the vocabulary of this music.
Slutsky discovered the Funk Brothers in 1986 when he started doing research for a book about the legendary Motown bass player James Jamerson, who died in 1983. Slutsky says when he started talking to Jamerson's former colleagues, the film concept was born.
Anybody would realize this was the greatest unmined story in the history of rock and roll. It was completely untouched. Nobody cared about it except them.
Slutsky spent the 1990s persuading investors to care enough to put up $3 million to fund the film. Then Slutsky and director Paul Justman gathered the eight surviving Funk Brothers in Detroit 2 years ago to film the interviews and a reunion concert that make up the core of the documentary.
I wasn't expecting to ever be in a film, period. It was just wonderful. It was very amazing, yeah. In fact, a couple of tears rolled out my eyes when I looked at the whole film.
Joe Hunter was Motown's first keyboards player. He can be heard behind Marvin Gaye on Hitchhike, The Miracles on Shop Around, and Martha Reeves on Heatwave. Joe Hunter says in the early years of Motown, the musicians improvised in the studio.
Actually, we did quite a bit of the arranging ourselves. The musicians that were there, they didn't have it on paper. We added in. We felt certain things, the drummer, the bass player, and the piano player. We just felt certain things belonged there in order to make it unique.
Many of the Funk Brothers came to Detroit looking for work, both in the city's nightclubs, as well as more prosaic day gigs on the floors of its auto factories. Joe Hunter, originally from Jackson, Tennessee, worked at Chevrolet before he came to Motown. Uriel Jones is a native of Detroit. He ended up at Motown in 1964 with Marvin Gaye's touring band. Jones says wherever they came from, all the Funk Brothers started out at the label for the same reason.
When we first came to Motown, it was just because it wasn't because we was enjoying doing it. We wanted it was there for the money. Then after a while, when we locked in with one another, then we started enjoying the sessions.
And were you getting paid union scale?
No.
Yeah. Was that a new dance?
In fact, the musicians in the early Motown days were being paid by the session, and as little as $5 a song. but they were backing every Motown act, cutting song after song in assembly line fashion, then leaving the studio to head for the nightclubs. Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. And when he died, all he left us was alone. Tambourine player Jack Ashford says the Funk Brothers were the busiest musicians in Detroit.
And you know, when you're playing that much, you have to be good, because you're playing over 12 hours a day, every day. And you don't, when you're practicing to be a musician, you don't practice 12 hours a day, you know. And so therefore, our skills were honed. We knew what didn't work with a chord, and we knew what did work. And we would use a lot of things in the studio that we did at night in the clubs. I need love.
Even though when you hear a Supreme record or a Motown record, you think of the vocalist, there are musical parts in there that if they were not there, the person would notice it. On Stop in the Name of Love, that glitz that runs up in the front of the stop, that if that were not there, you would notice it.
Mary Wilson was 17 when she signed with Motown in 1961. And like the other girl singers in the group that would become the Supremes, she couldn't read music. But Wilson says with the Funk Brothers behind them, they didn't have to.
It was more the feel. I think Motown was about the feel. So if the band laid it down great, it was all feeling. You know what I mean? You didn't have to read, because it was just, it's like Ray Charles, you know, you just got the feeling. Ow! Baby, 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 don't leave me. Ooh, please don't leave me all by myself.
Mary Wilson does not appear in Standing in the Shadows of Motown. She says the filmmakers never asked her, but when she heard about the documentary, she wanted to promote it.
I want to be a part of this because I understand how the Funk Brothers and many other musicians at Motown possibly feel not having received more glory in name. You know, it's almost like me. I'm known as a Supreme, but as Mary Wilson, I'm not really known for my talent. I'm like one of the Supremes. So it's sort of, you know, you want to be a part of something. You want to be known for your life's work.
The producers of the documentary are giving 50% of their profits to the Funk Brothers. But the film means more than that, says drummer Uriel Jones.
Now, the people that's listening to that besides ourselves is not just saying that's the Temptations, or that's the Supremes, or that's Stevie. Now they're saying that's the Temptations and the Funk Brothers. See, they putting a face and a name, you know, that's been missing out at all this long time. So now it's in there. So we got bragging rights. Not where we probably be out big-headed bragging, but there's times where you want to tell somebody, say, hey, I played on that record. But you can't do it, because they'll probably look at you and say, oh, you crazy. See, but now we could do that.
Two of the Funk Brothers who appear in Standing in the Shadows of Motown never got their bragging rights. Drummer Richard Pistol Allen died in June at the age of 69, and keyboard player Johnny Griffith died last weekend at the age of 66. The rest of the Funk Brothers can enjoy the recognition the film brings while it lasts. They still won't find their names on most new reissues of classic Motown songs on CD. For NPR News, I'm Tom Vitale in New York.
Walk with me. Take my hand.